Here we go.
All right, we're going to call the regular meeting of the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission to order at 7:33 p.m. And I'm going to appoint Kawan Gordon for Arlene Fiena. I'm going to appoint Tom Crackett for Jeremy Flick and Diane D'Annunzio for Steve Clark. Next order of business is the approval of minutes. The February 12th regular meeting.
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
Move Tom Crockett, second Diane D'Annunzio. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Jim Cropley, abstain.
I abstain also.
And Tom Robbins also abstains.
So five in favor, zero opposed, two abstaining?
Correct.
Thank you.
And next we have residents forum. That's for anyone who wants to speak about anything that's not on the agenda tonight. I think Tyler probably wants to participate in the public hearing. So
I don't know if we have Jim Lorsch on the phone too, on the, but I don't know if he's also here for the hearing.
Oh, yes. Jim, did you want to have anything to say in residence forum?
Maybe not.
Staff reports.
I can start. CROG has started a priority pathways project, and they are doing small group meetings to discuss regional bike and ped plan, basically. My small group was with Andover and Coventry, and I know Mike also met, but his was a different small group. So they're collecting data and just finding out the kinds of things we see in each town and how we can see any connections made for walkways and pathways and bikeways. Met with an appraiser for a property on South Road. The Connecticut's Countryside Steering Committee met this month. I've filled out a town profile data request for the state of Connecticut. We have been reviewing 271 Hop River Road, the gas station for CO. They're down to, I think, four items left to be addressed before they can get their CO, and they're working on that. Approved a reconfiguration on Clark Road, compiled an aquifer protection list for the state, and looked at a permit at 166 Turnpike Road, which was for the trailers that are across from Simon Eyes, All Town Fresh area, and also took part in a planning and development forum. It was a busy month. Cassie, you don't need to write every single thing down either. That's all I have. I'm sorry, I'm trying to turn that off. Not really sure how to do that. There we go.
Patrice, I missed some of that. You said you went over an improved configuration. What was the rest of that?
We approved a reconfiguration of two lots on Clark Road. They share a boundary line, and the two owners wanted to add property from one to the other in the back of the property. we do a lot of reconfigurations like that for people who either have a neighbor or they own both properties or something, and they're trying to change the property. And as long as they don't do it to make the property non-conforming, they can do that without a subdivision.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up. Initially, I wrote down improve. That's different than approve. So thanks for clearing that up.
No worries.
Anything from Mike D'Amato?
So other than a couple of things Patrice mentioned with CO and permit reviews and stuff, I'm sitting on a separate CROG priority pathways working group, if you will. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I can't remember if Patrice and I talked about this yesterday, but I think we did. The one thing that is the undertone that is important, at least in my mind, and kind of came out and was supported by both Mansfield and Tolland, who are in the group with me along with UConn, is that a major stumbling block in a lot of this, particularly for towns as you move away from Hartford, frankly, is DOT. DOT wants the Autobahn, and towns don't have the opportunity or the funds to build the Autobahn. And that conflict tends to make executing any of these projects really complicated, particularly when you have towns outside of the urban core that rely on state roads for a lot of their main corridors. So we talked a lot about that, and it was interesting to get UConn's perspective on some of the things that they're focused on and what they're doing. I'm also sitting on CROG's, I don't know what they must have a full-time person that just thinks about titles for studies and working groups. But it's essentially their industrial warehousing and distribution committee or something. They have engaged both DOT and an economic analysis or economics firm of some kind, and a third group to run a study, which will take, I think, approximately 9 months to understand statewide and sort of regionally, looking at, you know, Massachusetts, New York, what the current and anticipated future demands are in the sort of large format warehouse industrial space. And it's geared towards trying to understand where these facilities are and where they're likely to be so that they can see how that might affect traffic. A lot of these facilities don't allow their drivers to be on site much more than an hour before delivery, and they have to leave shortly after, which means they find themselves on the side of the road somewhere. And that causes accidents, and that causes trucks on roads they shouldn't be on. They know that the north, northern New England above New Jersey is really underparked when it comes to available spaces for trucks. And towns like Windsor and South Windsor have had a massive sort of influx of these things, and it can be a really big challenge. I think South Windsor mentioned that the Home Depot warehouse that was approved or expanded, which is on a railroad spur, it turns out when they get their shipments, the main street that rail line crosses closes for almost a half an hour. So we'll be seeing what happens with that. And, I guess I'll keep you guys posted on anything actionable. It'll be a little while, but it'll be interesting again to kind of see how we as a CROG region, 41 towns or whatever it is, are kind of reacting to this. That's the end of my TED talk.
And anything on enforcement actions?
We've had a couple of sort of, I guess I'll say, disputes or maybe alleged violations, but nothing that has risen to the level of requiring enforcement on our end. There's been a few things that have come in that we have flipped to wetlands because they are wetlands matters, but nothing that's required any formalized action on my behalf.
Is there any information on 37 Notch Road?
37 Notch Road. Let me look it up. I don't know all these by name. Come on. 37. So I believe that is the subject of an in-progress enforcement action via the Wetlands Commission.
Okay.
Alyssa was meeting with the chair yesterday, I think, to go over some actions that are currently being taken. I don't know specifically where that stands, but I know they were meeting with Jim Rupert to kind of talk about that. So there's something in progress there.
Thank you. Okay. Our first public hearing is application subdivision regulation amendments and updates, number PL-25-2.
Would you like to read the legal notice, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
The Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission will hold a public hearing on Wednesday, March 12th, 2025 at 7:30 p.m. virtually and in the Town Hall, 222 Bolton Center Road, Bolton, Connecticut, to consider, number one, updates and amendments to the subdivision regulations, number PL-25-2, which include A, reorganizing to improve functionality and usability, B, updates to the numbering format, and C, minor non-substantive changes to improve consistency amongst the use of terms and resolve document conflicts. This proposal is on file for review in the Bolton Land Use Department and on the town's website, and we gave a link to it. All interested parties may attend virtually or in person and testify or submit written testimony. This was dated February 20th, 2025, and it was published in the Hartford Current on February 28th and March 7th in accordance with the state statutes. Would you like me to brief you on this?
Yes, please.
So, less summerish. The Planning and Zoning Commission went through a codification process of both the subdivision and the zoning regulations. And last summer, we went through a public hearing and approved the codification of the zoning regulations. We then got the subdivision regulations, and so this is the same process for that. They have formatted them in code. They're a lot easier to search if you've used them on the town website, the zoning regulations anyway, that's what's up there right now. But it's the same thing where they've gone through, they've asked us some questions, we've answered the questions, and they've done grammatical changes and or numbering changes or whatever, just to improve consistency and usability. There was nothing major that went into those changes.
Okay, and do we have text of the non-substantive changes to improve consistency amongst the use of terms and resolve document conflicts?
Text, they were included in the... they were sent out ahead of time from the package, I believe.
Okay.
I can go through them page by page if you want. I'm not sure that's... it's up to you.
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Let me share my screen. Okay, so it's things, can you see that?
Yes.
Okay, so it's things like they changed around the authority and added effective date, Bolton Planning Commission, now the Planning and Zoning Commission. So these are just things that created consistency here after it said as revised the Planning Commission. So they've added and Zoning Commission. And then they've noted where things have been amended during codification. So, and they've added editor's notes for certain things. This is regarding subdivision amendment history. They updated some of the definitions to coincide with statute. This on the left where you see aquifer building area, all of that, those are just changes to the format. Things like 100-year flood, so it's a number as opposed to written out. Plan of conservation and development, again, citing the statute. Planning and Zoning Commission added here in the definition of street instead of just by the Planning Commission. In the general requirements, conformity, they've added conformity with plan of conservation and development. It's the Inland Wetlands Plural Commission. This talks about the regional planning agency and referrals to the councils of government as required by the statute number. Things like this, where she's got restriction on sale of certain lots instead of the sale, that is a grammatical thing that they do when they codify the regs. I found they take out a lot of the thus and for description purposes. Here we had them reference the Bolton Zoning Regulations, this section which refers to open space and conservation and development in the Bolton Zoning Regulations. It just said the regulations and I had her actually put the section in. This discusses the submission of two subdivision plans for open space and a regular subdivision. This refers to the zoning regulation dimensional requirements in this section here. This is just changing it around to format it so that it's consistent with the way she has all the statute references. Open space fund is what that's called. So we took out preservation, acquisition, and conservation. That's the official title with the finance chairman or finance board, finance treasurer. Sorry. This was about the suitability of open space and the way it was written. It instead of exceeds, it's exceed, not plural, and or which should have been shall. So it was required. This was just, we're not really sure what was going on here, but this was just leftover words. So with a formal got left out. Or got taken out, excuse me. We changed this to just to be in accordance with procedures in case the procedures change in the future. This is on writing on forms. We don't do that anymore. Everything is done digitally now, as you know. State highway permit, this was all changed to be able to provide to the Land Use Department a copy of any required submission to or approval from the Connecticut Department of Transportation, which is all we can really require. Going further down, this is all just format, taking out section and putting in CGS where it is. For required submittal items, in addition to the above items and at the request of the commission. So it's, we basically used to require 14 copies of plans. So we've now made this at up to that amount by the request of the commission. So if we only need one or two, then we don't have to make them make 14 paper copies of complete sets of plans. So it'll be the commission's decision as to how many sets of plans we need. Submission of the application discussion here. It's again in accordance with procedures prescribed by the commission, should those procedures change in the future. So we're all just format changes here. Subdivision plan is conditionally approved by the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission. Here's another instance where the is taken out of one of the headings, revision of subdivision plan. This is for endorsement. This is a discussion that we had when we did the zoning regulations and what was required for the applicants to fulfill with the town clerk and digitally with us and what have you. So we basically changed this to match or closely match the zoning regulation requirement for endorsement of plans and filing of plans. So all this has been set up so that it's, you know, again, not five paper sets because we don't need that. It's one paper set and one Mylar, and with signatures, then it gets filed. So this has all been updated to show that. This discusses that the subdivision shall be completed within 5 years after the approval of the plan or within any extension of time in accordance with the state statutes. This is just a grammatical check. Again, more format here. And these are the description and requirements. I had Joe look at this, our town engineer. So we changed this to be in accordance with 410.7, 77. And these are all the items that were here. The thing we added, he had adjoining property lines and the names we added and addresses of adjoining owners because those are typically left off, but very useful. This is a grammatical change, the 1/100th. We added existing and proposed street names, house numbers. Street names and house numbers are subject to approval by the commission. Again, grammatical changes. A location map equals showing existing and proposed lots. Typically, it's just a map that doesn't really show much. So it's a little more helpful when it shows those things. This is again trying to mirror the site development plan for description and requirements, trying to mirror the other items in these regulations and the zoning regulations, which we have for requirements for filing stuff. Here we changed, and you all may remember this conversation, existing and proposed natural features, including watercourses, ponds, swamps, vernal pools, aquifers, 100-year floodplains, ridgelines, large ledge outcrops, large trees, we added to things that they should be information that should be included on a plan when looking and reviewing a plan. We added house numbers here. We added in existing stone walls, fences, foundations, large trees here. We've got the conceptual wells with an appropriate radius because those have changed over time. Here again is the requirement of the commission may require up to 3 paper copies. So this is based on what the commission wants and needs, I guess. These are all just grammatical changes or changes to format. In this section F, all of this regarding the sub base, the process aggregate base, the hot mix, this all came from corrections from our town engineer because this is what he reviews when he's reviewing the road. So these are all items that he changed and I had him re-review before we got to this point. This also includes the tack coat. And he reviewed all of this section for anything that didn't look right. We added definitions for this section. And again, these are engineering, used for the engineering part of the plan for roads, basically. So we added some definitions. Again, this is grammatical. Also grammatical there. Miles per hour, gutter lines. This was changed for intersection by, oh no, this is grammatical too, sorry. All grammatical here or format. Same there with the turnaround. This discusses the street numbers that should be, before they're placed on the plan, they would be approved by the commission. This is the driveway grades. No driveway grade shall exceed, it's 12%. It was 15. The town engineer recommended the 12, and I believe that also matches what's in the driveway permit requirements. Those two did not match for a while. And then it discusses exceeding 10% and the pavement requirement, which currently exists. The town engineer added a visibility with intersections here in item C and the distance you would need to see and how high you would need to be sitting to see that distance in order for it to be safe. This is all grammatical or format. Same here. Same thing with the drainage requirements. I had the town engineer go through these as well. So any changes here that are not grammatical or that are not formatting changes were changes that he asked for. This is the outflow computation and stormwater computation, and he's referring to a technical document here. These are format and grammatical changes. Same here. Change the type of pipe that is used for drainage pipes that they have now gone to, that we now require. This is grammatical. Public Utilities Regulation Authority, so the name was changed there to identify which you know as PURA. Public Health was changed from Health Services. This is the requirement regarding the sewer, which we discussed in the commission discussed, but I also discussed this with the sewer authority regarding the limited public sewer that we have in town and that it was for pollution avoidance purposes.
Oh, okay, so that is, all we're doing is stating a fact.
Right.
Okay.
So basically saying the sewer service is not intended to allow for higher density residential purposes. It's just given, because it used to say, as of 2008, the town of Bolton has a public sewer service system, which it does, but it's not really, that's a little bit of a false hope there.
Yeah, okay.
For water supply and fire protection, this was all changed back some time ago. So we are basically now just pointing to this chapter in the Bolton zoning regulations. So everything is all the same. So this was all removed. And this is more of pointing to the zoning regulations for residential structures. the performance bond information here. And the Bolton Fire Marshal, this is part of the fire changes as well. And I think this is the ENS plan. I don't think much changed in here because that really hasn't changed over time either. That's all grammatical. Sanitation control. This is the public improvement guarantee part. These are things that just reference the statute or are same as what the statute says. We took out accepting surety bonds because we no longer do that for public improvement. Erosion control bond. Landscaping plan. I believe we changed a couple things in here. Change the name of the DEEP. One shade tree shall be provided for every 40 feet of frontage, or the commission may approve an alternate plan to satisfy this requirement. We took out the requirement to plant along the side yards and rear yards, but ask that they preserve what they can when there are trees there. This goes back to the engineering requirements for construction and inspection. Road standards. Easements and deeds, so nothing's changed in here. And prior to acceptance, this again from the how many plans we're going to take and in what format, which mirrors the subdivision, the zoning regulations, monument requirement, title insurance. And I believe that is it. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much. The chair admits he was too lazy to do this beforehand, but I'm glad you did it because now I understand what the changes have been made, especially those by the town engineer. Thank you.
Yep.
And we also have in the public, Andrew Latiga.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. First, are there any comments from members of the commission?
I'd just like to make a general comment. I'd like to thank Patrice in particular, Mike, for helping out to do all this work. I think our intent is to make things easier to do business in Bolton. And this is a step in the right direction. The question is there any business to do,
yeah,
as you and I have talked about. Well, thank you for your time and effort on this painstaking task to get it done. And hopefully it will help and make a difference in the future.
Yeah, I think these are the changes that are appropriate to make during codification. There may be others right that we want to make afterwards, but now we have
a
start for it. Anybody else? Any members of the public that want to talk about the codification of those subdivision regulations? Anyone online?
Jim Lorsch is still on. I don't know if he's there or not.
I see Jim Lorsch. Okay. Hearing no hearing no further comments from the commission or the public, I move that we close the public hearing. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Tom Crockett. All in favor say aye.
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 That was an aye. Okay.
I believe that's unanimous.
Unanimous, yes. Okay, second public hearing.
We have a second part of the legal notice if you'd like me to read that.
Yes, please.
The The second part of the public hearing being held tonight is number two, zoning regulation amendments, application number PL-25-1. Item number A is add definition for lot coverage area and lot coverage. Item B, amend section 450-3.22 for minor modifications. Item C, amend section 450-3.3 nonconforming uses to allow limited expansion of existing buildings. And item D, amend section 450-8.3 rural mixed use zone and 450-9.2 gateway mixed use industrial zone, removing the requirement of multifamily residences on upper floors of commercial uses.
Thank you.
And I can put those up on the screen too, Tom, if you think that helps.
I think everybody here has a paper copy, but you can put it up on the screen for anyone else.
Okay. All right. So for whatever reason, the first item is lot. The definition of lot exists already in this format. The definition of lot of record exists as written here. What the commission is proposing to add is the definition for lot coverage area, semicolon, lot coverage. The part or percentage of the total lot area occupied by buildings, parking lots, and all other surface structures on the lot, inclusive of building coverage. I don't know if you want to do these one at a time or you want me to explain them all.
My understanding is that we use the terms lot coverage area and lot coverage without defining it.
Correct.
Okay, so now we're defining it and making it clear that it includes building coverage.
Correct.
Which is also a defined term.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And the part about minor modifications.
So minor modifications, what we've basically done here is change this so that the zoning officer, enforcement officer, in consultation with the director of community development, can issue permits for minor modifications when they fall into certain minor, when there's only certain minor changes. And those items are minor grading changes due to field conditions that do not significantly impact drainage patterns, changes in pavement site circulation or pavement markings provided such changes do not increase the amount of parking by more than 10%, relocation or location of underground utilities, minor changes to building area, provided such changes not exceed 10% of the approved building area. Location and screening of utility equipment, location of directional signage, substitution of plant species or sizing, any other minor technical change that does not materially detract from the original concept of approval granted by the commission. And then basically the process is it's submitted. Any minor modification which is submitted to the commission for review may be processed as a site plan review without a special permit or a public hearing should it be determined that such change will have no significant impact on traffic, drainage, or other consideration affecting public health and safety. The decision-making body, I thought we changed that.
That's what we changed it to.
Oh, that's what we changed it to. Sorry, thanks,
this,
Mike.
This line, yeah, C is brand new.
Okay. Decision-making body may submit any proposed minor modification for review and comment by the town engineer, town sanitary and wetland agent, fire marshal, or other relevant municipal official or department. And then we took out the items that were there before. They're basically reconstituted, I guess is the best way to put it. So those are the requirements, and it's basically the things that Mike and I have seen that have come to us where we've asked and the commission has said, yeah, go ahead. This also reserves the right for the zoning enforcement officer to feel, if he feels it's not minor enough, to bring it to the commission or to ask the applicant to go to the commission.
Patrice, this is all the stuff we went over before, though, right? We didn't change. Yes, sir. Okay.
Right.
I was just getting confused. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Do you want me to go on or?
Yeah, go to non-conforming uses.
So non-conforming uses, this is the current section in the regulations, which is not changing. And the commission added, why this is not coming up. We added number 3 to it. So this would be, no nonconformity of any kind shall be expanded or intensified except as follows. And item number 3 is what's been added, which is a legally existing building or structure nonconforming as to the front, side, and or rear setback requirements or minimum size lot requirements of these regulations may be vertically expanded, provided that the zoning permit has been issued and that any such expansion is no closer to the property line than the existing building or structure, does not create a public safety problem or health hazard, including but not limited to sight lines for the motoring public, and is in conformity with all other requirements of these regulations, which would be things like building coverage or lot coverage or those kind of things. So that's the addition to that section.
That's Tyler's, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah.
And then the last item is the removal from both the rural mixed-use zone, RMUZ, and the gateway mixed-use industrial zone, GMUIZ, the requirement that multifamily residences are on the upper floor above a first floor commercial use and at least 20% affordable. That regulation has been in effect for some time. We've had a long discussions on this, but it's never been used. And we've been told it actually hinders development in those areas. So the rural mixed use zone B parenthetical 2 will just be deleted. But B parenthetical 2 V will be deleted, and B parenthetical 2 S will just have something said intentionally left blank because there's a number of other items after it instead of having to renumber everything.
Okay. All right. Well, those are all the things that we've discussed. Is there any other comments from the members of the commission? And from anyone online, Juan, Jim?
No, I'm good.
Well, I'll sit here.
Okay. Any members of the public would like to talk about the proposed zoning regulation amendments? And what about Jim Lersch? No one here. All right. Seeing none, I move that we close the public hearing.
Jim Cropley, I second it.
Seconded Jim Cropley. Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any no? That's unanimous. Number 6, old business discussion, possible decision. Subdivision regulation amendments and updates. Does anyone have a motion?
I think we're ready to vote on this.
Yeah, that's
I don't know anybody. I think the regular vote on that.
We have to make a motion first.
I'll make my motion after we vote on.
Well,
after vote on individually.
Read it.
Suggested motion for approval, subdivision regulation amendments and updates, Bolton PZC. I make a motion to approve the amendments and updates to Bolton subdivision regulations as presented in application number PL25-2 made during the codification process effective 4/1/2025, which include A, reorganization and improved functionality and usability, B, updates to numbering format, C, minor substantive changes to consistency among the use of terms and resolve document conflicts.
Okay, motion Tom Crockett. Is there a second?
Jim Cropley, I second it.
We have three seconds.
Oh, that's okay. Take my name Jim, right out.
Jim Crockley seconds. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Any no? That is unanimous. Okay.
I'd like to make another motion.
Please do.
Okay. Zoning regulation amendments, Bolton PZC. I make a motion to approve the amendments and updates to the Bolton zoning regulations as presented in application number PL-25-1, effective 4/1/2025. Additional definition for lot coverage area, lot coverage. 2, amended section 450-3.22, minor modification. 3, amended section 450-3.3, non-conforming uses to allow limited expansion of existing buildings. 4, amended section 450-8.3, rural mixed-use zone, RMUZ. And 450-9.2 Gateway Mixed Use Industrial Zone, GUMIZ, to remove requirement of multifamily residents on upper floors of commercial use.
Motion Tom Crockett. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Diane D'Annunzio, seconds. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none here or online, all in favor say aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. That's unanimous. Is there any other?
I don't have any other old or new business.
Okay. Something came up. Something came up this week, and I just want to talk about it. Someone approached me about a potential violation, and I gave some instruction, and I just want to verify with the staff that this is correct. It is not the role of the commissioners to investigate violations. However, if you see one, you should talk to staff, because the staff is responsible for enforcement. And is that correct, Patrice and Mike?
And Patrice, I don't want to interrupt you.
Nope, go ahead.
So I would say yes, that is correct. And the one thing that I would kind of either point out or mention, or the thing that's always in the back of our minds as staff, is that we need to make sure that we are enforcing the regulations in a manner that's consistent and doesn't even come across as being arbitrary. And so the process may feel clunky or annoy residents when we ask them to fill out a complaint or to do something a specific way, but it's important both legally and, you know, procedurally and professionally that we go about that in a consistent manner. So, if anybody ever has those issues come up, they can certainly reach out to us and we can let you know what, I mean, I will, at least for me, you know, I'll tell you what my thoughts are and what is likely to happen if the complaint were to be made formally. And you can educate those folks and refer them to us. But but we typically ask them to reduce those concerns to writing so that we are not giving an impression that we're sort of making these decisions as we see fit, you know, here and there. Selectively, correct. And legally, just the you know, the background on that is that as staff, we are covered and protected, for lack of a better word, and indemnified by the town in our work as agents of this group. But if we are found or alleged to be acting arbitrarily, capriciously, in a non-uniform way, that protection goes away. So we need to be consistent so that we continue to be indemnified.
So, Jim Cropley, I have a question. So if someone called the town hall with a complaint, would they have to do that? Do they actually have to come in or fill out paperwork to do that?
Generally speaking, we want something in writing. We don't tell them it has to be on a specific form. We don't make them write an essay, but we need something that shows on this day, this person called about this thing. And that allows us to start the process. So we don't overcomplicate it, but we do want to have some information to sort of start the file.
So okay, I guess that answers my.
It also gives us a person's information to be able to follow up with them, because a lot of times something they may be complaining about is not a violation, and we do like to get back to them to say, you know, we've looked at this. This is why it is or it isn't, and this is, we're either not going to go forward because it isn't, or this is how we're going to proceed. It's pretty much procedure to not act on anything that's anonymous. Right, Mike, when you say it's procedure?
Yeah.
Policy.
If somebody called us and said that, you know, some massive construction project was sloughing off, you know, tens of cubic yards of, you know, silt into a wetland, or there was some massive safety concern, obviously health, safety, and welfare, we would take care of that. But if someone's filing a complaint against their neighbor, you know, frankly, 90%+ of the complaints that we get are stem from neighbor to neighbor disputes, and of those calls, better than 75% of them, people will mention in some way that they don't want to give their name because they don't want their neighbor to know. They don't want their neighbor to be mad at them. They feel their neighbor might retaliate. So, you know, all we would get is anonymous complaints if we allowed it. And Casio has been teaching its, you know, the folks that go through that program for at least the last 15 years that your policy shouldn't to never be to accept an anonymous complaint.
Thank you. I think that's what we needed to know. Let's see. We have ongoing discussion. Does anyone want to bring up at this point anything else about the subdivision and zoning regulations?
Hey, Tom, I do have a piece of business that would probably be better suited for item number 7 in the agenda.
Okay.
So new business. And it's not really new business. It's actually old business, but it's actually been latent for quite some time. And what that consists of is the Route 44, Route 6, I-384 interchange. Just recently, I would say within the last week, there has been a lot of public comment on social media. I can count about 60 comments from when I last looked at the post, where people were actually concerned. They expressed deep concern, or they were bemoaning the situation at that interchange. And there's a few paraphrasing comments I would like to enter into the record from some of these posts. The first one, mortal danger. Second, serious hazard. Third, tailgate me dangerously. Fourth, worry for my family. Fifth, absolutely insane. I know that there has been a couple of studies conducted in the past. The earliest that I can find was 2008. There was a study done for the Route 44. There was also a follow-up study that was done in 2013 for the whole Route 6 corridor in 44 and 384. That was more expansive and expanded on the 2008 study. I think it's incumbent upon this particular board to actually review some of those suggested changes, maybe partner with the Board of Selectmen, see what we can really do. Because, I've had a numerous close calls on my personal self. And I do think it warrants some type of consideration for this board to try to see what can be done.
I hear what you're saying. It's really out of our hands at this point. That whole interchange is all state route. And right. I know that the selectmen have, I think, been waiting for the Department of Transportation and or others to come up with some ideas for that. It's really up to whether the state wants to fix it or not. We can bang the drum all day, but
right. I hear your position. I agree to some extent, but simple things to me, when I looked at the 2013 study, they made recommendations and phases, and some of those earlier phases suggestions were signage. I think some of the signage there could actually be improved. And those should be lower cost for the state to get accomplished. I think, especially when it comes to that interchange section, the current signage does not really reflect the flow of how that interchange works. I think the signage itself can be improved.
Right. Again, that's state road, that's their signage. And I know we had a meeting about some signage on that part of road, and Pam Sawyer, who was first selectman at the time, said she wanted certain signage and certain things. And the state's answer to that is, our signage is standard. We put it up in accordance with traffic and engineering standards, and they are trying to make the signs consistent, is the word that was used. So it's done in similar fashion in similar areas so that people don't get confused when they're driving and see different signage. But again, it's really, there is nothing that we have control over. The Board of Selectmen I think it's the Board of Selectmen is the traffic authority. Yeah. And, you know, they're the ones that could talk to the state, but if the state thinks that the signage is not in there, does not meet their requirements for consistency and what they do for engineering, they're not going to change the signage. And those discussions have been had, but I think your discussion's probably better off with the Board of Selectmen, who is the traffic authority.
Or perhaps with the state representatives and senator.
Yes. Maybe that could do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely on people's minds. Like I said, there's only over 60 comments on this post. And this post, this main post has was created less than a week ago. And many town residents have chipped in and expressed their deep frustration, their deep concern. They're saddened, they're bemoaning the situation about that interchange. And I can understand, as someone that uses that section of Notch and 6 and 44 somewhat, you know, daily, it is something. And I mean, this has been kind of talked about, kicked down the road, you know, who does what. If we can figure out who we need to speak to, I mean, I can pull out some of these comments, redact some of the names.
And I would I'll be start happy with to the submit. Board of Selectmen, Quan. That's where I would go.
Okay.
I would start with them. And then if you want to call a state rep, our state rep in Bolton, to see if there's anything that they can do. I mean, there's really, those are the two places that are going to have any kind of effect.
Yeah. I mean, I can do that. It's just, I do feel that it's been such a long time since 2008 and 2013 that it hasn't, nothing has come to fruition. I mean, it's.
I have a question. Way back, there was a mention of the state's affinity for an Autobahn. Could someone please explain that to me? I know what an Autobahn is in Germany, but I'm not sure how they picture that.
I was tongue in cheek making comments about DOT. You know, the problem is that highway engineers, you know, want things to be as safe as possible. And that typically means wide, flat, clear. And that tends to increase speed. And when you're trying to plan things for pedestrians, that's where there tends to be conflicts.
I see.
So they, a lot of towns are finding that, you know, like in Willington, we are trying to do a streetscape project where we have mid-block crossings, which is where you have an island in the middle of the road for the pedestrian to stop that's curbed. So if they can't make it across the whole road, they have a spot in the middle, kind of where the yellow line is. That's like a raised island. Sometimes they're planted. So we are trying to get those installed on Route 32 in South Willington, and the DOT does not want them installed. They don't want to plow around them. They don't want them in the roadway. And we've been fighting about this for probably a year and a half. So it's just, they are still of the mindset, at least in my opinion, where they prioritize vehicles more heavily than I think they prioritize pedestrian improvements.
Thank you.
I would just conclude by saying I will look to attend the next Board of Selectmen to bring this up.
Yeah.
Patrice, I thought at one point we had discussion about that, and I think someone came back, I don't know who it was, and said that actually, and I disagree because I travel that road probably 5 times a day, that is a less accident-prone intersection than 44 and South Road is.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers on that, but not sure.
The recent number
44 and South or 6 and South?
No, 44 South Road. There's more accidents there than there are at the notch.
That's why they put in the light, right?
Yeah, but people run. I mean, I live off of South Road, and I don't move out of my road until 44 traffic. I see both cars on both sides stopped. And if I didn't do that, I would have been dead 20 years ago.
I do the same. I
mean, that's just a really bad and supposedly, and I mean, I would believe it, but there's somehow someone was in, and I think I had asked, and there's more accidents on that intersection than there are at the notch road, you know, 44-6 interchange. That was the comment that someone gave me. Because it is terrible. I mean, people come down that road and they're doing, you know, 85 in a 45 mile an hour zone. So.
And Jim, I do agree with your recollection of traffic data. I remember when I did look into this slightly about 2 months ago, the recent data for the I-84 East Route 44-6 interchange, there really hasn't been any actual accidents per se, but there have been lots of close calls, and it has been cited that the sight lines for that interchange are horrific. And I do believe that you are correct in terms of modern, within the last 5 years, the intersection that you refer to does have more traffic accountings, traffic events, traffic accident events. So I think it's a problem in both areas, actually.
Is there any correspondence?
I have none, no.
Well, it's item number 10. That's you, Jim.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Second.
Second, Merrily.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous. The meeting is adjourned at 8:38 p.m.
A second, Merrily?
Yes, Merrily.
Okay, thank you.
All of us.
Oh, it's one of you.